So they say confession is good for the soul. So I'll confess a couple of things then. So I've had a very busy week, and I was working yesterday, and I went to see my dad on Friday night, and he told me I was speaking today, which I had overlooked. So it was an interesting experience because, well, it wasn't at the time. But I took it well. But I looked yesterday and I was looking through a number of old messages from previous years, and I tried to start one, but I had to come back to some thoughts that God had just dropped into my spirit and my heart during the week. So I thought, well, this is not the way that I like to try and start preparing on a Saturday for the next day. But I have brought the verses that I felt that I had to bring and not to go back to a previous message. So then I had this great idea this morning that I would get up really early, and I hadn't even set the alarm. So I don't know what I was thinking of to not even set the alarm. But thanks be to God, we're here and we've got something to share, because God places these things inside of us and they just have to come out from time to time. So we'll read Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41, just six verses. And I'll give you 10 more seconds to get to there, 9. Right then, here we go. So Mark 4, verse 35 to 41, and it says this. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up, and high waves were breaking into the boat, and they began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion, and the disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and the waves obey him." Thanks be to God for his word. And today I want to bring a word entitled "The Storms of Life and the Purposes of God." Because thank goodness we don't have to have one and not the other. The storms of life and the purposes of God. In my Bible, the subheading for this passage is "Jesus Calms the Storm." Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a storm or in very severe weather. It's an incredibly scary experience. Maybe you've flown at some point in your life and you've encountered the terrifying experience of turbulence that causes an aeroplane to rise and drop at an alarming rate. We've seen the devastation of hurricanes and the like on our TV screens and what they do. And storms are scary. And when you're in them, you just want to be out of them. And on the other side of whatever it is that's going on. When I was a young person of about, I know you probably still think I'm young, but when I was a young person of about 18 years of age or younger, maybe, I knew someone who was a sailor. And one day, my friend Don Gunton, the sailor, decided that it was a great idea to go on a sailing holiday. He had a big boat that was at least as long as this room, something like 37 feet or 27 feet it was, something like that. But it was a big boat. It was bigger than what you went on Leisure Park Pond with. But Don needed something very important. He needed a crew that would help him sail the boat, even though I hadn't a clue what we were doing, cook the food, and clean the decks. And I thought this would be a great idea. And so me and about four other friends, I think there was about six of us or so, went with Don on this sailing trip with all his charts and his whatever, all the things that he had, rulers and whatever, plotting the course. I was very excited. I even found myself singing A Life on the Ocean Wave before I got on the ocean wave. And first we got into the car and we travelled all the way to Scotland to a place called Troon on the west coast of Scotland. Then we got on our sailing boat. It was beautiful. It was massive. It was very late and it was almost dark. And in the harbour it was lovely and still. And the water was beautifully calm and the moon began to glimmer across the water's surface. And I thought, this is great. This is a wonderful experience. But Don, the captain of the boat, decided that it would be a great idea to set sail across about 20 miles or more of water to a Scottish island called the Isle of Arran. But as soon as we got out the harbour and onto the sea and into the dark, the winds began to blow and the boat began to go up and down and the rain was lashing into the boat. Up and down and side to side went the boat. It was a horrible, horrible experience. And then my face turned green and my tummy began to get sicker and sicker and sicker. I have never experienced anything like seasickness. It was horrible. And oh, how I wished I'd never gone on that journey at that moment. And how I wished that this storm had never come. But eventually, we got to the other side and into a lovely, still and calm harbour. Not like a harbour with walls, but like a bay. And the storm had stopped, but it was dark, so we couldn't really see much around us. But the next morning when we got up and the sun rose and we came up onto the deck, we were just in the most beautiful location. It was amazing. And I just realised last year, and I was thinking about this the other day, I don't think I said it to Elaine, but we were in the very bay in which we went for a holiday last year in Arran. And that's where we woke up. And that morning, we had communion together in the stillness of the bay. It was beautiful. And I never forgot the stormy crossing. It was awful. But I also never forgot what was on the other side of the storm. The beauty of the landscape around which we sailed over that coming week was truly amazing, with the most incredible mountain sides to look at and beautiful places. And it had an incredible and lasting impact on me. And I realized later that I would never have had the experience and the encounters of that week that followed had I not gone through the storm and crossed the other side. I've never gone back sailing, though. You know. And today's reading from Mark reminded me of my sailing trip all of those years ago. And verse 35 sets the scene by telling us that it's evening. And so darkness is falling. And it's falling across the lake where they are. And I'm sure that this must have been a crossing that the disciples have done many times before. Maybe some of them are used to the storms that suddenly spring up. Well, whether they are or not, their reactions would suggest that this storm is more severe than any other storm they've experienced before then. Maybe they've thought that they've been through enough storms and they didn't need another storm. But this storm comes with a ferocious ability. And Jesus suggests that they set out across the lake. Now, it probably looked lovely and still at the time. And it would appear from earlier in the chapter that Jesus has been teaching the people, maybe even all day, and so he's extremely tired as they set out on their journey. And so off they go, leaving the crowds behind them. But as they go, however, people in other boats follow along. So I hope they were all okay. But verse 37 says, then soon a fierce storm came up and high winds were breaking into the boat, causing it to begin filling up with water. Now, to be very clear, the disciples sense they're about to die. The storm is that bad. And they're afraid that they're going to go under because of the storm. And no matter how much experience they have of whatever level of storms and difficulties before, the situation to them looks bleak and hopeless and lost. And to make it worse, in the middle of the storm, Jesus is unquestionably asleep. With his head on a pillow or a cushion, it says, in the back of the boat. And to the disciples, it has to be astounding that at the point of their greatest need, Jesus appears, or he is, asleep. And he appears oblivious to the storm that has the ability to finish them off. And eventually Jesus wakes up, and the first thing he hears above the storm are the shouts of the disciples, teacher, don't you care about us? How dare they? They've been with Jesus. They're in relationship with him. They're walking with him every day. But they're convinced that he's oblivious to their storm, and then voice the words, don't you care? Even though they're clearly experienced men of being out on the water, even their experience can't handle this storm. And because of what they've seen Jesus do before for other people, they're looking to him now to directly save them. But at the point of their greatest need, Jesus, it would appear, is not seeing the storm. Then Jesus does a series of key things. In verse 39, he rebukes the wind. And in the same verse, he speaks to the waves. And he orders them, silence, be still. And then the wind stops and a great calm arrives. And he asks them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? I think it was pretty fair enough for them to be so shaken by what was going on and so scared that their faith really, truly was tested to the extreme. Verse 41 tells us, in fact, that they were gripped by fear. I think I would be like, Jesus, we know about the sea and we know how to handle this boat, but this storm was bigger than anything we've ever faced. We had to wake you up. We wanted you to wake up to our situation because it looked like it was going to finish us off. Now, of course, we know that what Jesus does, and the disciples marvel at the presence and power of Jesus in the midst of their storm. Now, there's one thing we must recognize, and it's this. There's great purpose in Jesus and the disciples going through and coming through this storm, because on the other side of the storm, there is great purpose. But at that point, out on the lake, when they couldn't see anything that would come after it, at the point of the greatest need and the greatest danger, they could only see the storm. But Jesus could see beyond the storm and the purpose of the future and what was ahead. It's interesting that the storm wasn't avoided or taken away by Jesus. The storm was something that they had to go through. Now, just was it coincidental? It just happened to be a storm on the lake. No, I think there was purpose in the whole experience and what was to follow. I know that I wish that storms or times of ongoing challenging situations didn't happen. Just when you feel that you've maybe had enough experience of enough storms, along sometimes comes a storm that just about overwhelms you and just about is too much to handle. I wish there were times when we weren't stretched to the very limit and where it can sometimes appear as though, and with the greatest respect, Jesus is asleep. Or unaware of the difficulty of the situation, of the overwhelming nature of what we could almost feel could consume us. Now, before Jesus woke up, they were having a shouting time. Now, I don't want to shout. But they were probably yelling their heads off in sheer terror and panic to get Jesus' attention. And I wish sometimes, when we find ourselves in that situation, if you've been like me, that sometimes it can feel like we're shouting out and crying out and calling out. This is going to overwhelm us. This is going to swallow us up and take us under. Jesus, help us, please. I'm sure you've experienced that from time to time. But thank God, Jesus sees and knows beyond what the current storm or the circumstances say. Do you remember last time we were talking about, what did I tell you? Remember what he says. The disciples weren't remembering that day. They had amnesia. And I don't blame them in such a terrifying situation. But God sees the purposes of the future. And if you think back to the lake, he knew what was on the other side. Even Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. I would like to add, and storms. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. When you feel like you can't go on, take heart. He knows. And we can trust him. But maybe sometimes you feel like you've got to shout as well. In my observations of life and people's journeys is that storms come, storms pass, and storms have purpose. But would prefer not to have the storms. The problem for us is that it's hard to see anything other than the storm when the storm is all you can see. But Jesus rests in peace in the storm. He's having a rest in the middle of the storm. Because he's secure in the knowledge that the future has great potential and possibility and purpose. And he's overcome the world, or to put it another way, he has overcome the storms of life and sees beyond them. Each week in one particular hospital in which I work, I spend a morning with people with advanced stages of very severe dementia. And over the course of weeks and months, I've seen memory stolen away from them. And they're literally in a life storm. It's incredibly sad. But not last week, the week before, I found myself on the dementia ward. And I always take my guitar. And as part of how I build pathways and relationships with patients in all different contexts, but especially in dementia, is that we have a sing-along. And we sing 50s and 60s songs. Cliff Richard and others, even Rock Around the Clock. Couldn't have done that in my early Best Shan days. I would have been right in trouble. It's literally an incredible experience as people remember the songs and begin to sing them. And there's days when we've had times when I've gone into a lounge and it's been quiet and still. And by the time we're finished, people have been up and dancing and moving more than they've done for years, and staff joining in, and it's an incredible experience. But last week or the week before, at the end of the sing-along session, I introduced Amazing Grace. Now, everybody knows bits of Amazing Grace, believe it or not. But I introduced Amazing Grace, and we began to sing Amazing Grace across the ward. And various people around the ward began to join in. And then as we reached the end of the song, in a corner of a lounge sat an old lady in her 80s or her 90s. I'll say elderly, sorry. Elderly lady in her 80s or her 90s. And as we sang Amazing Grace, although she had appeared asleep, I noticed that she was mouthing all of the words. And then as quiet descended on the room at the end of the song, this elderly lady with dementia, with her eyes closed without prompting and unaware of others in the room, raised her voice with all her strength and began to sing these words in the quietness and stillness of the ward. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. She was perfectly in tune, but she was unaware that everybody else was listening to her. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. She raised her voice, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. She went on, not a shadow can rise. I was amazed at her memory of the depth that this song had gone into her soul. Not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear can abide while we trust and obey. I gently played the guitar as she sang. She never once opened her eyes, but she continued singing from somewhere deep in her soul. She sang all the verses, but as she sang the last verse, I saw somebody robbed by the disease of dementia sing from the storm to sing of the future on the other side of her storm. And she sang this, then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go, never fear, only trust and obey. She didn't stop there. She went on to sing the old rugged cross. Straight into it. And I had an experience that day that I'll never ever forget. But as she came to her last chorus and her voice breaking, she sang, so I'll cherish the old rugged cross. Till at last all my trophies lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. And this is not a word of a lie. But as she ended, in the silence of the entire room filled with patients and staff, some with tears running down her cheeks, who had stopped in the corridor to lean on the door looking into the lounge, the cheers broke into spontaneous applause. And in that moment, in the storm of that life shared the hope of heaven and the power of the gospel and the hope of a future with an entire room of people. It was quite simply profound experience. Fear was replaced with faith, which had been planted over many years before. Now, I learned later, what I didn't tell you there was that at the end of all of that, she stopped and she opened her eyes and she said to me, "It's not as good without the organ." So, I thought she had been oblivious to my guitar playing, but she'd heard the guitar playing. And she said, you know, she was dead serious as well. But something, it wasn't just like remembering a Cliff Richard song. It was much more than that. It was something deposited deep in years previous that in the storm of that moment, that in some way she'd become oblivious to, out of it came this hope of the future. It was incredible. So what happened on the other side of the lake of the storm for Jesus and the disciples? I thought, well, if that had purpose, what was on the other side of the lake? Well, we won't read it just now, but Jesus and the disciples encounter a man possessed by an evil spirit, in fact, who lives in the place of death amongst the tombs. Now, the story will start to come back to you. His life is so chaotic that he has to be restrained and put in chains and shackles. He howls and he cuts himself. And he's so full of demons, they call him Legion. But his encounter with Jesus on the other side of the lake sees the demonic in his life broken and cast into a herd of pigs who rush down a hill and drown in the water below. The result is that he wants to get into the boat with Jesus and go back across the lake, but he's left behind on purpose to tell his story in that region. And Mark 5 says he went on to visit 10 different towns with his story. So on that day, in that storm, Jesus, who appeared to be oblivious and asleep, knew that on the other side of the storm was clear purpose that would impact the region. But it was purposes the disciples couldn't see in the midst of the storm. It's interesting and uncomfortable that on that storm day, Jesus challenged the disciples with, "Why are you afraid? And why have you no faith?" It's as if Jesus is saying to them, even in the worst storm or storms, don't let fear rule the day. Now, I know he didn't have a conversation with them, but he made those two statements to them. Even in the worst storms, no matter how long their length, have faith. That's hard. That's not always easy when something comes to pull the rug from under your feet, when you feel you've bought enough rugs by now. I don't need to have another new rug under my feet, thank you, Lord. You know, we often cannot see beyond the situation and the circumstances. But in everything, we try to give thanks. And we trust God, who sees beyond what we can't see. And just as I close, I come back to the elderly lady on the dementia ward. And I remind myself that the words of that hymn speak to me of what I must do, of what we must do in the storms of life. And I've changed the words around a bit, but in the storms of life, we've got to walk with the Lord in the light of his word. We've got to allow his glory to be shed on our way. We've got to continue to do his will, because he'll abide with us still And he abides with us all when we trust and obey. Why? Because, yes, he's God of the harbour and the calm and the blue skies and the peace. But he's also the God of the storm. And he's the God who sees beyond the storm or the storms of life to the fulfillment of his purposes. Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. Thank you, Stuart. It shows you the wonder of being able to be salt and light in the community. And the Lord can use each one of us like that if we're open and available and willing to be used by the Lord. Well, it's just a thank you very much. That was a very encouraging word. You see, the enemy throws his worst at us, but he's being clever. But the Father allows these things, but his promise is that he will turn everything together for